Who was Mary? What do we know about her? Mary was a simple and undistinguished girl, so to speak. It was true until the 10 months before the first Christmas. Yes, there is no fancy, decorative, holy, jolly words that describes how special she was at her birth. The way Scripture introduces her to us is quite simple. In verse 26 and 27 of Luke chapter 1, we read, "The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary." This simple description, though, provides us with quite ample information. It's noticeable that the scripture says that she was a girl from Nazareth. What is special about Nazareth? The answer is nothing. I mean, there is nothing special about Nazareth. Nazareth is much more widely known this day than it ever was in Jesus' day. We read in John's Gospel that one of Jesus' first disciples named Nathanael teased and taunted and made a sarcastic remark about Nazareth when he heard that a great teacher named Jesus came from Nazareth. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He was plainly saying of how people were thinking about the little town called Nazareth. The population in the town of Nazareth is estimated to have been between just 100 and 400 in Jesus' time. Most residents of the town were farmers, shepherds, or laborers who would travel to a large nearby town called Sepphoris. They would sell their goods and services in the city of Sepphoris, which was the ancient capital of Galilee in the time of Jesus. The city of Sepphoris was an affluent city that boasted a population of over 30,000 people in those days. Excavations have discovered the paved street and the luxurious villas with extravagant mosaic floors, and even colosseums in the city. Notice the contrast between the city of Sepphoris and the town of Nazareth. Sepphoris was a prosperous, and Nazareth was a struggling. And Sepphoris was the home of rulers and leaders and wealthy businessmen of the day, and Nazareth was the home of peasant, shepherd, and servant who might have labored to install the mosaic floors for the rich in Sepphoris. Rich people of Sepphoris lived in luxurious villas on the hillside, and poor people in the town of Nazareth lived in limestone caves or in a mud house on top of a cave. And I bet that people would have thought that if God was going to choose one woman to be the mother of the Messiah, Sepphoris, not a Nazareth, must have been in God's consideration. Nazareth was an unlikely place for the Messiah to be hailed from. It's also noticeable that the scripture says that Mary was a virgin engaged to a man. She may have only been 13 or 14 years old there. That was the age that a young girl got engaged in those days, and she would have married 1 year later, as it was a custom. Then do you think that a 13-year-old inexperienced girl can be exceptionally qualified to fulfill the most important work that any human being has never been asked to do, which is to give birth to the Son of God and to take responsibility for the Christ child's birth, growth, and safety? It's about raising and nurturing the Savior of the world. Do you think the 13-year-old can do it? If people were asked to pick one woman for such important responsibilities, I suppose Mary would not be hardly selected. To the eyes of people, she was one of the most unlikely persons to deserve the mother of the Messiah. Then let's think about ourselves. Yes, think about yourself. These days, do you face something that overwhelms you? Or dream something that you wish to achieve and only to feel that you are an unlikely person to make it? What is it in your life that you feel even God would not use to make something great because of how lowly and puny your current situations are, especially when you compare your situations to what your friends and neighbors have? What is it that you feel that you live in unlikely place? What is an unlikely place in your life to bring forth something good? And what is it then that holds you back and makes you feel that you are not qualified? To me, it was English. English was my unlikely place. Of all the subjects for my college entrance test, the grade in English that I got was the lowest one. And I had a kind of fear about English. Even though I like to travel to a different country, I never thought that I would live in America where I would speak in English in everyday life. Until I found my home in the United Methodist Church and proceeded with my ordination journey in this my beloved denomination, I hardly thought that I would serve in English-speaking congregation. And I still remember what one of my friends told me when I told him that I wanted to go to America to pursue my Master of Divinity degree, which is a requirement for ordained clergy. He told me that my English skill was not good enough even to complete the degree program. And he added to say that English would be a hindrance to them on my journey. Those days, even I would say that God would be unlikely to use my English skill for whatever purpose he would have. However, it was God who saw something different in us, as God always does in God's people, including Mary, 2020 years ago. Yes, let's come back to Mary's story. When Mary least expected it, God sent an angel to her, and the angel called her what? The favored one. She found favor with God. See how lowly she is to the eyes of people, but she's found in God's eyes something that is beautiful. But be careful here that this does not mean that Mary was God's favorite or that God liked her more than any other young girls on the planet. But the Greek word here for favored one is kekaritomini. It has its root in the word keritos or keris, which means grace. So here the angel called Mary, you, one whom God fills with God's grace. Yes, it was God's grace. Not what Mary did or had, but God's grace that chose Mary and made her special. It's by God's grace that God calls people, equips people, gives people, and uses people for God's purpose. And this is the good news that I feel confident that God wants me to proclaim this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, the season that is made special because of what God has done through such unlikely people who are living in unlikely place like Mary, Elizabeth, and Joseph. Here I also have to say this, if I am honest with you, the truth, even when this truth is proclaimed to convince you that God fills you with God's grace, some of you might have a kind of reaction that Mary showed at first. As is written in the scripture, she was confused by those words and wondered what kind of greeting that might mean. Then she couldn't help but ask, how can this be? However, we see here that Mary didn't decide to choose to stay in that kind of confusion or question. She responded to God's promise by saying, yes. She answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. It's very true that every possible problem didn't go away with that one-time answer saying yes, though it was great. Yes, rather it seemed that her choice to embrace God's plan made her life harder. People would start gossiping about her pregnancy, and it would be painful for her to put up with all these things. But what's most important is that she began the new journey with her answer. That way, she didn't allow her journey to be controlled by people's gossiping or by her inner voice of doubt. She decided to lead the journey by faith and in hope. While she wrestled with all kinds of uncertainty and misunderstanding of people along the way, she strived to hold fast to the knowledge that God's grace was upon her. And that God's grace claimed her, not anymore social label of unlikeliness, but God's grace claimed her. Coming back to my story, I do know that it is God's grace, not my English skill or my any kind of professional skill that a pastor should have. It's God's grace that enables me to serve you as your pastor. Of course, I still needed to work on improving my English skill, and that is to say, I have works to do, just like Mary had works to do, the works that no one could do on behalf of her. And I know the linguistic challenge that I have to deal with are much less crucial than what God has found in me and what God has decided to use as gift for pastoral ministry. So I said yes to God's promise and God's provision and to God's grace. And I say no over and over to the inner and outer voices of shame and of all kinds of social label of unlikeliness or unqualified. My Lodi family and friends, what about you? When you feel that you are one of the most unlikely persons to bring about something for the greater good, to make a difference in the lives of people, even in the lives, in the make a difference in your life. When you feel about yourself that way, what do you tell yourself? When your loved ones feel about themselves that way, what do you tell them? How do you help them to be convinced that God's grace fills them? Don't think that you are not enough to be used by God. Don't think that unless you get all your problems sorted out, you won't be qualified to live your life in a way that God favors you. You and I can live as God's favored ones today, today, not some days, but today. Not because of what we did to deserve God's grace, but because God has chosen us. Because God's love first came to us before we would say to God, we love God. So let's live today, tomorrow, and always as we put our faith in knowing that God provides for us in grace and that God implants and fosters hope for us. Because we are favored ones. We are people of God's grace. And we are people of hope. This identity is something that we are told on this Sunday. We are beautiful to God's eyes. Because of that, let's tell God to respond to God's voice, saying to say yes. May you and I say to the Lord, like Mary, "Here I am, Lord. Let your message of hope be fulfilled to me and to all whom I hold deep in my heart." Just as Mary did when God's work of giving birth to the Christ child, let us give room in our heart and share our gift for God's work of giving life to the world. And let us continue on our journey by saying yes to God's voice, by saying amen to God's voice. Amen, which means let it be so.